So I wanted to apologize. Last time I spoke, I tried a whole different way of speaking. So it was way too much reading, and I tried to fit way too much in, and in a short amount of time. Now, I was also chastised by one of the members as soon as I said I was running out of time. And he's like, nope, when you're preaching, there is no time limit. And I agree with that. If worship runs over, prayer runs over, or the message runs over, I'm all about that. But I was cornered by Eldon before I even got in the building. And it was Koinonia meal. And he's like, I want these burgers hot. I need to know when you're going to end your sermon so I can have them coming right off the grill to you guys. So I really was on a time limit there. Yes, I threw you under the bus. So I'm going to change it back up to going back to my kind of a more original style. And we'll take it from there. So thank you for your patience as I learn. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we do this message today, I just pray that I'm a conduit. I want to be a conduit for you, for your word to be in their ears. What you need them to hear, let them hear. What you need me to speak, put it in my heart to speak it. So Lord, I just praise you and thank you and hope that this, we will all come away learning more from this experience today. And we pray this in your precious house, in Jesus Christ's precious, beautiful name. Amen. So to start with poetry, there's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. So, and the whirlwind is in the thorn trees. Here's the key. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. Okay? There's a whirlwind in the thorn trees. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That poet is Johnny Cash, one of my favorites. So it's the 10 virgins is what it is, but to me, I called it the 10 lanterns. And the reason I called it the 10 lanterns is it's not so much about them being virgins or what they're doing. It's about their lanterns and what is in it or not in it, and how that compares spiritually. So I'll start by just reading the parable. The parable is going to be Matthew 25, 1 through 13. At that time in the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who take their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all became drowsy and fell asleep, all of them. So you have five foolish, five wise, all of them fell asleep, which is fine. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil or our lamps are going out. They replied, no, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Here's the part. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. That's heavy. So what can we glean off of this is, again, like I said, Jesus never wastes a word. Every word has a purpose. But let's start with the 10 virgins. He had 10 virgins, all looked the same. They all dressed the same. They all looked the same on the outside. But the oil is the issue. So how can we relate that to church and our gatherings? We all look like we're showing up to do our part, but then there's our personal lamp, what we do with God, when we talk to him, when we pray to him, when we study the word. That's what our inside is, and that's what this is about. It's about the lantern, not the virgins. So now here's the reality of it is he says 10 of them, five were foolish and five were wise. Now, this again is brilliant because he didn't say six and four, six were wise and four were foolish, or seven were wise and three were foolish. Because if you hear that parable and you go 7-3 is pretty darn good odds, right? So we're thinking, all right, It's just that three has got to be those people that don't do anything, right? They're the ones that go to, they show up at church on Easter and Christmas. Those guys, they have to worry about it. He says five and five. He splits it in the middle. In other words, half of us, half of the Christians who think they are Christian and they think they're doing what they need to do will be left behind. That thought alone just scares me to death. And hopefully it does you too. Like, you should go, am I doing everything? What should I be doing? And if you are doing that, you're already ahead of the virgins that didn't bring the oil. You're already going, okay, what do I need to do to be prepared for when this comes? Right? So it said, all became drowsy and fell asleep. In our walk with faith, we're going to have trials and things come at us. And God's saying, as long as you're prepared with me, sleep, rest. You're going to be weary. You're going to be tired. It's a fight. So it's okay to sleep. He's not chastising them because they fell asleep. It's just they weren't prepared when they fell asleep, and so they missed the boat. They missed him. And at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet us. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. They trimmed the wicks. Trimming the wicks was just that you take and you cut off the little burnt pieces so that the lantern shines as bright as it can. So we think about their lantern was probably a stick with a kind of a rag on the top that they would have to keep doing. But, you know, for the sake that they usually show it biblically, and they're like a lamp, kind of like a genie looking lamp with a wick on the front. But so you can see that spiritually. So if you grew up in my house, what I always said, just keep trimming your wicks. So as we go through our walk in life, as we grow and progress with God and everything else, just keep trimming your wick. Today I'm doing this. Okay, how can I trim my wick? How can I do just make my Christian walk a little better? A little better here. What do I need to do today? Have I been speaking with him? You know? So then it comes to the part where the ones that were foolish asked the wise ones, hey, give us some of your oil. And they were no. And a lot of people are like, that's rude. What they were saying physically was they would have to light this path all the way for the bride and the groom to go back. If they didn't, they would be in the dark. So the people that were prepared knew that if they gave the ones that weren't prepared oil, then nobody would have oil at the end, and everybody would run out, and they'd be all in the dark. So, but spiritually, what it's saying is, I can't give you the Holy Spirit. I can't provide your spiritual walk. You have to go purchase. They were kind enough to be like, I can't give it to you, or it's you need to go get it yourself. So when we walk with the Holy Spirit, I can preach literally till I'm blue in the face, but I can't make you go to that Holy Spirit. You decide to go to the Holy Spirit. You decide your spiritual walk. So that's a reference. So it wasn't being rude. It was being like, nope, you need to go get that. So in the Bible, Jesus is portrayed as the bridegroom throughout the New Testament, and the church is his bride. It's one of the most beautiful pictures of his love for us. In the parable, the bridegroom is delayed, then suddenly arrives at midnight. It was very common for the bridegroom. This was a big deal. When you had marriages back then, there's bartering going on. There's parents talking and exchanging. So you would start on this journey, and it was very almost, you knew you were going to get delayed going on during that way. So midnight, Jesus has promised to, but we don't stayed ready because they is coming back for them. So, you know, you don't know the time of the hour. But so references in the Bible, it's John 3:29. John the Baptist calls Jesus the bridegroom. And Ephesians 5:25-27, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, just like a husband for his wife. Revelations 19:7-9, the wedding supper of the Lamb, celebrating the final union between Christ and his people. But so all through the Bible, there's references of us being him being the groom and us being the bride. So it's a very common theme that they would have saw come in. So the comparison shows us just how deep a covenant love, his patience in waiting, and the urgency of being ready when he returns. his urgency in being ready when he returns. It's both romantic and serious at the same time. And it's very serious. We'll go into that. So I want to set the picture of what was going on. So first of all, if you have the red letter edition, Jesus is talking, and he's talking, and he's talking, and he's talking. So he is doing a lot. This is just a little tiny chunk out of this thing, right? He's speaking, because when this takes place, what we're going to read about right here is, remember last week when I was talking about the money changers and coming in and flipping over the tables? That had just happened, and now we're in the evening of that. And of course, he's going to die, and he knows that. Picture late afternoon on the Mount of Olives, the sun dropping behind the city, throwing a long shadow across the Kidron Valley, and the temple below is glowing gold, Herod's white limestone and gold trim catching the last light. It's a Passover week, so we are busy, right? So you got a lot of sacrificing, people are showing up, people are commuting, if you will, from all over the place. It's Passover week, so Jerusalem is packed. Tens of thousands of pilgrims are camped on the slopes around him. Families, merchants, animals, cooking fires. There are smells of dust, smoke, and roasting lamb. You can hear the murmur of the crowd below, the bleating of sheep headed for sacrifice, the clink of coins from the money changers still echoing in memory from the temple court he just cleared. So imagine if you're one of the disciples and you just watched him go in and rip apart the temple. This isn't him walking along the side of the road with them having a nice calm speech. He just ripped apart the temple. The disciples are going, what is going on? And now he's talking about bridegrooms and virgins and coming back, and it's confusing. So the disciples are sitting close, probably on the grass or rocks, still rattled. They just watch him overturn tables and drive out the merchants that morning. Then heard him say to the whole temple, and then he's on top of that, he says this whole temple would be leveled. So now he flips over the chairs and tables, threatens them, saying this whole temple's going to be leveled. Now he's upset a lot of people, right? So, so the mood is tense, expectant, a little fearful. Jerusalem is a powder keg. Roman soldiers on the walls, zealots in the crowd. They are literally trying to nail him. Figuratively and literally, they are hanging on every word. And he just went in and flipped the whole temple. They want him bad now. I mean, they got to find some excuse to get him. zealots in the crowd, religious leaders who've been trying to trap him all week. And he's talking about a bridegroom coming at midnight, lamps burning, and the door that shuts. A whole different picture than a nice quiet walk along the, down the path and eating some fruit and explaining a few things. The tension is high. That's crazy. It's crazy. So this is the part that it's important that we grow with our walk with Jesus. And we invite the Holy Spirit continuously in with us as we go throughout our day. Continuously talk to him, not just in prayer but people probably think I'm crazy just talking to myself in my car or something. But just to give you an idea of it is like, so we're busy, we're in our daily walk in life, and we're doing, we got this, we got soccer practice, and we got all these things, and then Jesus comes. We missed it. So I go to his door. Jesus, I'm sorry. I had to get this done. I should have spent more time in your word. I should have spent more time talking with you. But I had to get this done and that done and everything else. But I'm here now. Truly I tell you, I never knew you. I want to hear good and faithful son. I could not imagine Jesus Christ looking at me and saying, I never knew you. It scares me to death. So in Jesus' day, after a couple got betrothed, the groom would head back to his father's house and spend up to a year building an extra room for his bride. The bride and her bridesmaids waited, not knowing exactly when he'd show up. Could be weeks, could be months. The groom's dad decided the exact day. So when the big night finally came, the groom and his buddies would head out after dark with the torches, shouting and making noise so everyone knew that the party was starting. The bridesmaids were supposed to be ready with their lamps to light the way and join the joyful procession back to the groom's house for a week-long celebration. So that's what they're being ready for their lamps for, is to be able to light the way back for the groom after he goes and gets the bride and starts coming back. So the whole village would have been excited, people running out, music, dancing, torches blazing in the night. But if your lamp went out, you were left in the dark, scrambling, and you might miss the whole thing. The door would shut, and the feast would start without you. The midnight cry, "Here's the bridegroom," was exactly how real weddings happened. So this is very common. They would have been knowing this would be the main procedure of how people would be married. It wasn't a weird scenario for them. We talked about how they all looked the same. All 10 of them looked the same, acted the same. It wasn't about that. It was about the oil. It was about the lantern and how we fill that lantern, how we fill ourselves with the Spirit, how we fill ourselves with God in our lives. The foolish virgins, so they took the lamps, but not extra oil. Matthew 25, 2, 3, and 8. Serious reflections. These are people who look the part, church every Sunday, know the songs, maybe even serve, but have no real relationship with Jesus. When the moment comes, their light goes out. The problem is, they thought they had time. We always think, it could be now. But we always think, we got time. We got time to work on that. I can just do this really quick and that really quick, and then I'll work on that later. They run off to buy oil at the last minute, but it's too late. The door is shut. "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." And he says, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." Matthew 25, 11 through 12. That line should sober every one of us. How we look doesn't matter. How we act doesn't matter. Everybody has their own spiritual life. Make sure we're growing in it, is the message. The wise virgins, Matthew 25, 4. The oil represents the Holy Spirit and a genuine daily walk with God. They stayed prepared even when the wait got long. The midnight cry and the shut door. The bridegroom arrives at midnight. The ready go in with him and the door is shut. There are no second chances. When the door shuts, it shuts. However it looks for you, however you walk with God, make sure you're doing it. Make sure you're sincere. One thing I don't like people that pray at the church. So you know when you're sitting in prayer time and there's that person that's like, "And Lord, we really hope you can get the church painted on Thursday at 5 o'clock and, you know, and so on and so forth. When you're telling like, "Hey, elder, yeah, can you go get the church? We're hoping this is going to happen maybe tomorrow." It's messaging to the congregation. When we pray, we're praying to God. We're praying, talking to him, not to us. We're coming together as a unit to talk to him. So I think my first sermon that I did is, when you pray, pray this way. Don't pray this way. And so that's one of the things, that there's a showmanship. Everybody has the personal walk with God, what you do behind closed doors, what you do when you're alone. So I encourage you to, whatever that walk is, to continue to grow it, continue to fill it with oil, continue to trim your wicks. So I went through that. So Matthew 25, 13, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Don't just carry a lamp. Make sure you've got oil." If you've been running on fumes, today is the day to get filled. Close. Let's see. Make sure Jesus truly knows them. When the cry goes out, will you be ready to go in with him? Make sure Jesus knows you. Make sure you know him. Start filling the oil now. In closing, short part of Ephesians 5:14. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful island day you've provided for us. As we move forward, Lord, I pray that this message hits everybody where they need it in their hearts and encourages them to light that fire and to continue on to grow with you daily as we move forward in life. Lord, I thank you for this message, and I thank you for this time in your beautiful house. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.